Well, here we are, folks, again, Wednesday, the 21st of January. We're going to continue on with our studies in 1 Samuel. Tonight, we're going to be in chapter 5. So if you would, grab your Bible, open to 1 Samuel chapter 5 as we get into these studies. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity, this honor of gathering around the mic tonight with your people. I pray, Holy Spirit, to anoint me to bring forth this Bible study in 1 Samuel in such a way that all will hear and understand and gain insight into your word from this Bible study. Lord, anoint those who hear this message tonight. God, give us insight into your word that it may be a light unto us. God, I pray, Lord God, anoint me now as I bring forth this Bible study, anoint those to hear. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Well, folks, here it is Wednesday, 21st of January already. Let's open up our Bible, chapter 5 of 1 Samuel. If you recall, last week there was a battle. Israel had lost 34,000 foot soldiers to those Philistines. These Philistines are the constant perennial enemies of Israel. We find where they lost the 34,000 foot soldiers. Not only did they do that, but they lost control of the Ark of the Covenant. It was taken and seized. We find that Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, have died. Eli has died. Eli's daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, has died and given birth to a child, in which she named Ichabod, meaning the presence of God has left the nation of Israel. Tonight we pick up in chapter 5. I'm reading from the New King James Version Bible. And here we go. Verse 1. Then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Well, this house of Dagon, what is that? Well, Dagon is the Philistines' ancient deity or their god that they worship. This town of Ashdod, that's one of the five chief Philistine cities inland from the coast, about 3 miles inland and approximately 33 miles west of Jerusalem. Dagon, ancient literature identifies this deity as a fish god whose image had the lower body of a fish and the upper body of a man. And even in today's time, you may see men and women running around with a necklace on their neck, and it's depictive of this false deity. And they probably don't even suspect that that was the Philistines' god. So this Dagon was the chief god of the Philistines, and they believed that he sent the rain and assured a bountiful harvest. But the Philistines, like most of their pagan neighbors, worshiped many gods. The more gods they could have on their side, the more secure they felt. That was why they wanted the ark, thinking that if it helped the Israelites, it could help them too. Well, when the people living nearby began to get sick and die, then the Philistines realized that the ark was not a good omen, and it was a source of greater power than they had ever seen, a power they could not control. I remember when we were traveling to the Philippines about twice a year, Pastor Bob and myself, I can remember going in homes to where they would have a statue of Buddha there. and other implements and things of different gods. And then they would say also that they worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just like here in these times of the Philistines. They thought, well, we will eliminate any chances. We will just take on all gods. That way we will be safe. Not realizing that there is only one true God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So finally, sometimes their eyes were opened and they received the Lord Jesus Christ and did away with the false gods. But I saw that. So this Dagon seems to have been the leader of the Philistine pantheon. It was identified in Judges 16:23. It's noted to be also the father of Baal, this Dagon. The placing of the Ark of God in the temple of Dagon was supposed to be a sign of Dagon's power and Yahweh's inferiority. Because remember, the God of Israel, they're in their minds thinking, well, he's supposed to be all-powerful and we defeated him. So with the Israelites and what they did by not following God painted a bad picture about their God, the Lord God, Yahweh, because they acted on their own, took it in their own hands, and now, because of their defeat, they have painted a bad picture that their God is not capable or able of protecting them. And these Philistines think that Israel's God, Yahweh, is inferior to their God, Dagon. And they've proven it by a visual representation that the God of the Philistines was victorious over the God of the Hebrews. Anyway, let's go on. Verse 2. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Verse 3. And when the people of Ashdod arose in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it back in its place again. Ironically, God himself overturned the supposed supremacy of Dagon, and having die fallen over as if paying homage to the Lord. You know, you would think you had a God, that God is all powerful, all supreme, all knowing. And here, their God, Dagon, fell over on his face, and they had to go lift him back up and set him into place. What kind of God is that? Can't even lift himself up. Well, it is no God. You would think, they would think, you know, how can this be a God? And we have to lift him up. This really doesn't make sense, but we can look at a lot of things in our world today that just doesn't make sense, does it? Just doesn't make sense how you can think some people could act this way or do this. It's just beyond comprehension. Well, so it was in the day of the Philistines there, as they worshiped this false god, Dagon. So there old Dagon, he fell onto his face before the Ark of the Lord. And so they being the Philistines, took Dagon and set him back up into his rightful place again. Verse 4, and when they arose early the next morning, that's the Philistines, there was Dagon falling on his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. Again, he done fell off, fell down. But this time, look, rest of verse 4, the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. So, this first time, when old Dagon fell off, fell down, It seems like the first display of God's authority over this Dagon was not perceived by the Philistines. And God, his second display of authority, the cutting off of Dagon's head and his hands, was a common sign that the enemy was dead and was to be understood as God's divine judgment on this false idol. Verse 5, therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any who come into Dagon's house tread upon the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. This day as of the writing of this book. So you would think that their deity fell off, head's been cut off, his palms have been cut off, and there's nothing left but the torso. And then he had fell on the threshold, and their superstition developed that it was cursed, this threshold. Therefore, the Philistines would not tread on it even to this very day, as the writing of this book. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. So in contrast here to the hands of Dagon being cut off, symbolizing his helplessness against the power of Yahweh, the Lord was pictured to be actively involved in judging these Philistines. The imagery here of God's hand is found throughout the Ark narrative. This word tumors, it has been suggested that this word refers to severe sores or boils caused by an epidemic, possibly of the bubonic plague carried by rats. The spread of the disease and its deadly effect make this a likely view. Then there are others who claim, well, these tumors was hemorrhoids. Although the Philistines had just witnessed a great victory by Israel's God over their God, Dagon, they didn't act upon the insight until they were actually afflicted by these tumors. Similarly, today, many people don't respond to biblical truth until they experience pain. Child of God, are you willing to listen to God for truth, or do you turn to Him only when you are hurting? Here we see that these Philistines witnessed this great victory by the God of Israel over their God. Yet, it didn't change anything. They thought, oh, that threshold. Must be something with the threshold. We will never anymore step on the threshold because of what it did to our deity, Dagon. Can you fathom that, child of God? How you can put your faith and your trust in something that is man-made, and then it's shown to not be any value within itself. It can't even prevent its own self from losing its head and its hands. You would think common logic would tell you this is no God. And yet, each time it was in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant of God, something happened to their God. And the head being cut off, the hands being cut off, and nothing but a torso was symbolic of death. Yet, they continue on. Verse 7, and when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, the Ark of God of Israel must not remain with us. These people of Ashdod are saying, hey, we don't want this Ark of the Covenant of God to remain with us, for His hand is harsh toward us and Dagon, our God. Verse 8, therefore, they sent and gathered to themselves all the lords of the Philistines and said, what shall we do with this Ark of God of Israel? And they answered, let the Ark of God of Israel be carried away to Gath. So they carried the Ark of God of Israel away. So there in verse 8, the words referring to the lords of the Philistines. This refers to those men who ruled the chief Philistine cities as the kings. This town of Gath, it was another main Philistine city located about 12 miles east of Ashdod. The Philistines were governed by five rulers or lords. Each lord lived in a different city. There was Gath, there was Ekron, Ashdod, Ashkelon, and Gaza. They are taking this Ark of the Covenant to three of these capital cities. And each time it brought about great trouble and chaos to the citizens of those cities. Verse 9. So it was, after they carried it away, remember they're taking it from Ashdod and now they're taking it down to Gath. So it was, after they carried it away, that the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he struck the men of the city, both small and great, and tumors broke out on them. Verse 10. Therefore, they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. So it was as the Ark of God came to Ekron, remember it came from Gath now to Ekron, that the Ekronites, the people of the town of Ekron, cried out saying, they have brought this Ark of God of Israel to us to kill us and our people. So with judgment coming upon Gath, the Philistines sent the Ark away to the next main city, Ekron, to see if God was behind their calamity. Ekron was located about 6 miles north of Gath, and it was the closest major Philistine city to Israel's border. The city of Ekron, we find that they didn't want this ark in their city. So they cried out and saying, hey, they've brought this Ark of God of Israel here to kill us all. So the Ekronites and the Philistines had gotten the message that God was the source of all of their troubles, this God of Israel. And it's curious that the Philistines knew of God's power to smite the Egyptians, yet they proudly believed themselves to be stronger than Egypt. The severity of the plagues grew and kept getting worse and worse. And we find this, chapter 6 through 12, corresponding with the failure of the Philistines to humble themselves before God. Their actions were very similar to those of the Egyptians. Remember, the Egyptians kept defiling the word of the Lord, defiling the men of God. Let's go on. Verse 11. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the Ark of God of Israel and let it go back to its own place so that it does not kill us and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. In other words, not only were there plagued with these boils, these sores, these tumors, but many of the men, the women, the children died. Verse 12, and the men who did not die were stricken with these tumors. So if you didn't die, then you were stricken with these tumors. And the cry of the city went up to heaven. Let's go on to chapter 6 now, and we're going to find out where the ark is returned. Now the ark, verse 1, now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines for a total of 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priest and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with this ark of the Lord? tell us how we should send it to its place. So they're, you know, the people are distraught. And they're saying, this thing's killing us. What are we going to do? So they call for the priests and the diviners of this false deity, Dagon, and said, you know, what are we going to do? This Ark of the Lord of the Israelites, it's causing total destruction amongst us. How are we going to get rid of it? How are we going to send it to its place? Verse 3, they said, these are these priests and the diviners, okay, of the false god Dagon. They said, if you send away the Ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return it to him. Him being a capital H there, signifying the Lord God himself, Yahweh. Send it, return it to him with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. So get the picture. These priests, these diviners know somewhat of sacrificial systems, but they're saying, look, send it back. Send it back, but don't send it empty. No, by all means, return it to him. You got to do a trespass offering because you've trespassed against their God. And then they said, once you do the trespass offering, then you'll be healed. Verse 4. Then they said, well, what is this trespass offering which we shall return to him? And they answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. Remember the 5 principal cities? Each had a king. So he's saying, they are telling the leaders of the Philistines. He said, you got to do the trespass offering. And they said, well, what's that? And they said, well, here's what you do. Because we've been plagued with these tumors, then you make these golden tumors in the shape of these tumors that we're all suffering. Make them out of pure gold. Do 5 of them. One representing each king of the principal cities of the Philistines. And in addition, 5 golden rats. Because no doubt the rats have plagued these towns and these cities. And probably where the bubonic plague come from that caused this plague. So he said, 5 golden tumors, 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all of you and on all your lords. And verse 5. Therefore, you shall make images of your tumors and images of the rats that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, from your gods, and from your land. Got the picture? These priests, these diviners from this false god Dagon is telling the lords of the cities of the Philistines, look, here's what you do. You got to offer up a trespass offering. And they said, okay, well, what's that? He said, well, you know, these tumors that we all have and you got, yeah, well, you got to make the image of this tumor with gold. Make 5 of these. We'll have that as a trespass offering. Also, all of these rats that's ravaging the country, we'll make 5 golden rats. Put that with the ark for a trespass offering. Hopefully, the God of Israel will lighten his hand from you and your gods and from your land. Verse 6. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and the Pharaohs hardened their hearts? When he did mighty things among them, they did not let the people go that they might depart. So they're saying, you know, these diviners and these priests, he said, look, you remember those Egyptians, how they hardened their heart? Pharaoh hardened their heart toward this God of Israel? to the degree that they kept hardening their heart. And he did mighty things amongst these Egyptians, not to their favor. And he said, don't let the same thing happen to your people. So verse 7, he said, now, therefore, make a new cart, take two milk cows, which have never been yoked, and hitch the cows to the cart, and take the calves home away from them. Get the picture. They're saying, get these two milk cows. Don't let their young sucklings or calves be with them. Take them out of the way. Take them home. There's got to be two cows that's never been yoked with a yoke. In other words, they never had this yoke around their neck to pull anything, any kind of labor. So take them, these two cows, take your calves away from them, and take them home, and then take this ark of the Lord and set it on this new cart that you build, and put these articles of gold that you have, the images of these tumors and the rats, take these articles of gold that you are returning to Him. The Him is a capital H, meaning God, Almighty God. Send that to Him as a trespass offering in a chest by itself, by the side of this ark. Then send it away and let it go. In other words, he's saying, take these five golden tumors, take these five golden rats, put them in a chest, in their own chest, beside the ark. Then send it away and let it go. In verse 9, and watch, if it goes up to the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done unto us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that struck us, and it happened to us by chance. So these diviners, these priests are telling these five lords of the Philistines, of these major cities. He said, look, when you make these images of these tumors, these five out of this gold, five of them, and then these images of these rats that ravaged the land, these five golden rats, put them in a chest by their own self, put them up on the ark, and he had told them, you know, build a brand new cart, and then get two milk cows, two cows that's never been hooked up to yokes, meaning they've never been used for any kind of labor or any of that, but make sure you take these young calves that they have, the milk cows, and take them away. Set that chest upon this cart that you've built for the ark, and then turn them cows free. Let them go upon their own selves. And they said, if it goes to the land of the Israelites, then these plagues that we've been suffering, we will know that that was from the Israelites' God. He said, but if these cows take that cart and it don't go away but stays in our land, then we will know that, well, it's just happenstance that this has happened to us. But if not, then we'll know this has been the judgment of Israel's God upon us. Verse 10. Then the men did so. They took two milk cows, hitched them to the cart, shut up their calves at home. 11, and they set the ark of the Lord, that Lord is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That means the Lord God Almighty. They set the ark of the Lord on the cart and the chest with the gold rats and the images of their tumors. Verse 12. Then the cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh. So this Beth Shemesh would be the first town that belonging into the Israel territories here. Verse 13. Now, the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and they saw the ark and they rejoiced to see it. Verse 14. Then the cart came into the fields of Joshua at Beth Shemesh and stood there. A large stone was there. So they split the wood of the cart that was carrying this Ark of the Covenant and offered the cows as a burnt offering unto the Lord. 15. The Levites took down the Ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, in which the articles of gold were, and put them on the large stone. Then the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices that same day to the Lord. Verse 16. So, when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. 17. These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned as a trespass offering to the Lord. One for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, one for Ekron. And the golden rats, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines, belonging to the five lords, both fortified cities and country villages, even as far as the large stone of Abel, on which they set the ark of the Lord, which stone remains to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. 19. Then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. Okay, something I want to tell you here. There seems to be some controversy some places about the number of these men that were killed. This 50,700. Some say that, 50,070 men. Some say, well, it wasn't 50,070 men. That was a translation error. They say that it was 70 men. But there's scholars that agree and disagree to this. The number 50,070 is surprisingly large, although it finds textual support in the Masoretic text. This is the traditional rabbinic text, or the rabbinical text of the Hebrew Bible, dating from the medieval period and in ancient versions. Only a few medieval Hebrew manuscripts lack 50,000, reading simply 70 instead. However, there does not seem to be sufficient external evidence to warrant reading 70 rather than 50,070, although that is done by a number of recent translations, including the NAB, NIV, NRSV, NLT. The present translations follows the Masoretic and ancient versions. So back to verse 19 here. Then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people. And the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. And some versions say, well, he struck 70 men of the people and 50 of the oxen of men. That's the difference in the translations in that particular area. Verse 20. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall it go up from us? So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you. So why were the people killed for looking into the ark? Well, the Israelites had made an idol of the ark. They had tried to harness God's power to use it for their own purposes, like victory in battle. But the Lord of the universe cannot be controlled by humans. To protect the Israelites from his power, he warned them not even to look at the sacred sanctuary objects in the most holy place, or they would die. And you can find that where he said that in Numbers chapter 4, verse 20. Only Levites were allowed to move the ark. Because of their disobedience, God carried out his promised judgment. God could not allow the people to think that they could use his power for their own ends. He could not permit them to disregard his warnings and come into his presence lightly. He did not want the cycle of disrespect, disobedience, and defeat to start all over again. God did not kill the men of Beth Shemesh to be cruel. He killed them because overlooking their presumption, sin would encourage the whole nation of Israel to ignore God. Father, take this message, I pray, burn into our hearts. God, help us as we go through these studies, week by week, verse by verse. Lord, to hide this word in our hearts and understand and know, Father God. God, ground us in your word, that we may not sin against you. Father, we thank you for this honor. We thank you for this privilege. And we give you all the honor and all the glory. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.